the pages. And I thank you for showing up for me. Some of you have been showing up for me for 25 years, 20 years. Mary Tripp, with whom we sang into hairbrushes, she said that I was Rizzo and you were.
Sandy.
Oh, she's Sandy and I'm Rizzo in the Grease song, by the way. She's been showing up for me for 40 years. And all of you doing that has held the space so that eventually I could show up for my inner child and my inner teenager. I want to start a little bit to me about what ACA is and also share what working the program and living the program looks like. And then I'm going to read a piece of literature and then we'll see where this goes. To me, ACA, and others might have things that I don't remember to say in this moment that they would add to it, but if I were driving down a highway and there was a billboard, it would say, talk, trust, feel, don't abandon, next sign, yourself. Don't take the bundle. Break the generational family scripts. Drop the bundle. Reparent yourself. And higher power is my actual parent. And that also means that higher power is my biological's actual parent, too. And that just as I couldn't have turned out any differently, they couldn't have turned out any differently. And I just want to share a small metaphor. There's a reading in the ACA Daily Meditation book. The book is called Strengthening My Recovery. And perhaps at the end of the meeting, I can put in the chat some of the literature that I'm mentioning and the pages from which I quote. That to me is part of step 12 in carrying the message. Like, our literature is a neutral healing partner, and we all have access to the same information at the same time. That is very different from the drama trauma triangle and triangulated communication. So I hope I can put the literature in the chat later. So this page in Strengthening My Recovery, that was like a really neat, crisp clarity coming into focus for me. It said that the roof of the family house was already leaking before I was born. And as a newborn, I just got put under the leaky roof and I got rained on. And I was like, oh, I stayed there for a while. I got an umbrella. I got a raincoat. I got some bucket. And then eventually I just stood up and I walked out of the house. Walked out of the house. And walked into my own life, which includes having a very vibrant inner life with an inner family and a higher power. And I may not read it later, but I want to mention that in the identity papers, which is also in the big red book, this is a healthy act of defiance. And there's a section in our reading about achieving wholeness through separation and defying the authority of the family lie, defying the authority of family, ouch, and pain. So, what it looks like for me to be a fellow traveler is I attend meetings. My online home group is Sunday Night Steps. We meet at 7 Eastern. It's a speaker meeting. Lots of folks from there are here, and I love you. We have a parking lot afterwards that generally involves kitty cats. And then sometimes really serious conversations about, do you also puke and poop for 3 days after your childhood feelings surface? And then we talk about kitty cats again. In-person meeting, I have a home group in Tennessee. I have a home group in Massachusetts. I have a home group in Berlin, Germany. And a shout out to the Cape Town, South Africa ACAs. Didn't make it there, but it meant so much to me to know that you meet at St. George's on Saturdays. So the program, and many who is here taught me this when I came in 20 years ago. It is portable. I internalize it. It's with me wherever I go. I also attend workshops. I liked my favorite link is the ACAWSO events calendar. Every quarter, the Fearless Souls group offers a workshop. Man, my 9-year-old came online after that workshop. And then there's a fellow traveler in this room who, one, taught me it's okay to be happy and to get excited. Also said that after those childhood feelings surface, It's like the delicacy of post-op. Like I'm still in the recovery room. And so I did that complete picture workshop last March, and my 9-year-old came online, and my partner made pillows lay down for me in the back seat. We went to the mountains, and I was just like, the stitches were fresh. So I get a lot out of the workshops, anything that's offered on the events calendar. My recovery date in ACA is the 24th of October, 2024. And I went to convention in 25 and 26. I got to read The Solution just randomly, was chosen in 25. I had attachment cry when convention was over. And that's when I got into sock puppets, because I did the sock puppets during convention. And when we finished convention, we were all dancing with our stuffies, and my inner was like, my friends, let's do the sock puppets. So I get so much anytime I show up at anything in ACA. And often newcomers, if you're new, welcome home, will say, what's a good, every meeting I have ever attended that I found on the ACA website has met my needs in some way. I'm a big fan of early risers, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8 a.m. There's a big red book study on, I mean, I'm equal opportunity. I go to meetings. I have fellow travelers. When I first came into my in-person meeting, I had this diary, and I I was doing it for my adult self, but also my little was like, who likes me? Who can I call? So I had a list of fellow travelers, and I learned a lot, because the fellow traveler model, which is explained very well in a new piece of ACA literature called Connections, one was like, you reached out 5 times this week. I'm comfortable with once a week. Kudos to her, and credit to me for not having a shame attack. I learned how to be in all different kinds of relationships with the fellow traveler sponsorship, recovery support peer model here. At the Sunday Night Steps, I asked a fellow traveler. We've been going through the Loving Parent Guidebook. I do that with her once a week. Fellow traveler I met in another group, we're in the yellow workbook. And that's the other thing. Like, I came in bass ackwards. I came in at the end of the Loving Parent Guidebook, helping my inner child grieve. Like, that's the chapter at the end. And that's where I was. And so I just picked up literature. And I notice the inner critical parent, I sometimes have to give myself like gentleness, that I do a traits workshop on Thursdays, but I'm not working that front to back. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I get something meaningful out of everything. And a little example is from convention, which was just last weekend. I attended the Helping Your Inner Child Play and Have Fun. Oh my God, it was so deep. Like, where's my ball? I just thought we were going to have some of this. Like, this is what I showed up with. And what I found out is my dad was addicted to excitement. And that wasn't play, it was child endangerment. And that has been a barrier to my inner family playing. Like, and I'm going to tell some really ouchy stories, and they're just going to be woven in. By the way, in the Big Red Book, there's a suggested sort of flow when you do a 45-minute speaker. And my inner family lived through it. They can't tolerate the stories so much. So it just kind of weave them in. So, my dad's idea of fun was physical boundary violations, dumping cold water on me when I was a naked adolescent in the shower. That's not okay. That's not okay. Or outrunning the police, and the police being like, dang, there's an 11-year-old in the car. I can't put you in jail. That's not fun. That's addiction to excitement. So anything I attend, I get something out of. Let's see. I talked about meetings, literature, working with a fellow traveler or sponsor, workshops, conventions. So I want to acknowledge that I come in from the Al-Anon family groups, and my recovery date in the Al-Anon family groups is the 6th of September, 6th of February, 2006. So I just celebrated 20 years. And to me, this all works together, because what was going on inside is that my inner family was watching me build inner trust and inner safety and inner capacity and inner resource. And then when they were ready, they started to knock on the door. Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, by the way, in the Loving Parent Guidebook at the beginning, it says we're visual learners or kinesthetic. I'm all for it, turns out. But even when I read that, I was like, oh, no one ever taught me what kind of learner I am. And now that I'm doing this work, and my inner family is so chatty and they're so expressive through my body and also images and words, my inner child said today, every little child needs more love. I'm like, you're so right, honey. You're so right. I mean, they're very active and very present. So, Ted, who's here beside me, we started to work together about 25 years ago. He's also an adult child. We went to a meeting together last night. He came in before the third tradition was established, that we are a fellowship and a program of healing and hope for adult children of all kinds of ouch. And he was told he didn't belong because there wasn't alcoholism. So Ted found other mechanisms for healing. And part of that includes some of his colleagues who are here tonight, who are the founders before even the existence of the 12-step program of ACA, of the adult children movement. And one of those people is Mennie, and Kim and her other daughter is here too. And when my lost child ass ended up in treatment because my sister liked to snack through the back door, Tenny said to me, and I won't say the name of the treatment center in keeping with our 8th, 10th, 11th, and 12th traditions. She said, no one ever thinks to do an intervention on the lost child. And Sharon, who was going to come tonight, published the family roles. She's credited in the book in the 1970s. And now that I'm in the yellow workbook, I see that my inner child was always the lost child, but the family members did other things to me. They scapegoated me. They made me the hero child. I was called the normal one. And that's step one where it says, what are some of the labels? Like, Ashley's an intellectual pinup. Ashley's the normal one. And so all, ugh, so slimy. Oh my God, my body right now. Like this false valorization that justified abandoning and neglecting me because I was mature, et cetera. It's horseshit, it's neglect, it's abandonment, it's abuse. And thank God for the people who, before Tony and Kathleen and the others founded our fellowship, developed those family roles. And I will tell you, when I was shown a piece of paper, I was such the lost child that the only description I identified with was pets are very important. Pets, very important. So I did 47 days inpatient treatment. I started the 12 steps. I did a lot of inner child work, anger reduction work, shame reduction work, came home, went to Al-Anon, got my sensitive feelings hurt, went to AA, got sober, went back to Al-Anon. That's the nugget. And do you know that my very first suggestion when I went to this, I went to my sister's family week and then I ended up staying, was write a letter to your mother with your non-dominant hand. Write a letter to your mother with your non-dominant hand. And I woke up the next morning and I gave it a try, and my 7-year-old began to write the letter about, and it's too private, she didn't want me to tell you. Hang on. Internal Boundaries. It's a chapter in Loving Parent Guidebook. And so I was very fortunate in my Al-Anon work always to have an adult child perspective. I was told at a certain point when I did steps 8 and 9 with these people who, in legal language would be called perpetrators and criminals, that I could write my mother's story from her perspective. There's a reading in the Hope for Today book in Al-Anon, which is from the perspective of adult children, that asks me to consider what I admire and respect about family members and what of that I may share. And I recently did that about my biological dad. A love for art, deep sensitivity, tenderness in music, kitty cats, wit, humor, insects. So I got a lot out of that. And I just want to say something about the traditions and the concepts, because when my inner family first surfaced their feelings, there could have easily been like, did I not work a good program? Did I not? The traditions and the concepts gave me the guides for conduct that were completely and utterly absent from my major caregivers, neighbors, community. This is a collective social failure. Right down the road in 1983 and 84, this little one lived in a house entirely alone. Stomach is talking. No person, no human being. Where it talks about the inner teenager in the Loving Parent Guidebook, and it says some of us were abandoned for days and had no human interaction. 10th grade, the whole year. 11th grade, in a different state, the whole year. Nobody. And I did go, and I remember so much when Manny said, it says in ACA literature, we seek a full remembrance. And I do want to read this one thing where it says about our memory holds the key to living in the present with the full range of feelings, hope, and spirituality. That's page 304. And it says that my inner child, when she feels, is like this portal through which my true self, that's my interpretation, can pass. So, not having, having a dad whose ethics make me puke, who's so slimy, and everybody trying to get their good feelings and their needs met through me, I didn't know, but somehow I did, right? Because that was the courage, the integrity, the backbone, the seeking of justice, before my inner child's feelings came, I used to say, the up with which I will not put and the hill on which I'm willing to die, that has completely reversed. And it's like, now I know for what I'm willing to live. An example of how this happened is I was traveling. I called Manny. An AA meeting I had been to was not in accordance with the third tradition. And she said, well, maybe you're going to be a keeper of the traditions. And I said, what are those? She said, get out your 12 and 12. That's a book published by Alcoholics Anonymous. After step 12, turn the page. I got so into the traditions. I claimed the fifth tradition as my personal internal slogan. My purpose is to heal. Singleness of purpose to heal. And then I'm just going to skip ahead and show an example of how I integrated all of those for adulting and decision making and choices. Oh, my heart. My partner and I were in Switzerland at COVID, and the lockdown was going to end, and we were going to go back to Berlin where his daughter lives. And he asked if I wanted to live with her and her mother in a two-bedroom apartment that has a kitchen, a small bathroom, and no other rooms. Ooh, my arms are talking. And I said, tradition two, I get to participate in an informed group conscience. Tradition four, they're autonomous in their parenting, and I have a right to make up. Concept three, make a decision that's appropriate for me, because concept one, I am responsible for my own life. Concept four, I better participate and not let others take action on my behalf, which is in our laundry list traits. Participation is the key to harmony. And it was a hard no. It was a hard no. Like, no. And at the time, what I knew was there's no place for me to take step 11 in the mornings in that environment. What I know now is that would have been catastrophic for my inner child. It was already really difficult to watch my partner father. It was excruciating. I would put on earplugs and headphones and a sleep mask when he was reading her a story, because he was showing me what I did not know that I did not get, and why I'm here and what is so powerful about a literature. I can't teach myself what I don't know how to do. And our literature teaches me how to reparent. And then an example, the general warranties of the conference for me are the great chorus. After my mommy died, Pop was gross and started to date. And I was like, I will not be personally punitive. I will not be an incitement to controversy. I will be democratic in thought and action. Tradition four, he has the right to belong. And my language was, I've had so much loss. I don't need to lose him. Oh, where is the kick? Ooh, my inner teen's talking. She's so cool. So those got me to the point where May 2024, I started to have pain in my head. I'd had pain in my head before. I had started a PhD at a very elite university, more elite even than where I did in terms of the program, number one in the world, where I did my master's. And my head started to hurt. And I went to someone for sinuses, and they showed me, and this is, I'm going to get to the body in a minute. They showed me the pain faces that some doctor's office has. And she said, here's the one pain, here's the 10. I was a 10. And she said, oh, honey, this is not sinuses. You have atypical head pain. That was the only accurate thing that was ever said about my head pain. Atypical. It was my inner family tapping on the door of my nervous system, getting my attention. And to this day, since the feelings came on the 14th of October, 2024, no head pain. No head pain. Between the PhD and a neurologist telling me I had migraines, inaccurate, in 2024, I was hospitalized in four countries. I had medical records in this country in six states, and my health care was catastrophic. Through a friend of a friend of a friend, I was connected to the actual head of the International Headache Society. He asked me questions I had never been asked before, and he said, you couldn't even genetically possibly have headache. You don't have headache. And a therapist with whom I was working, also going to Al-Anon and AA, I was sitting in her office, and isn't this just it? To me, this is like the cri de coeur. There are two cri de coeurs of the lost child. One is, where is everybody? Ooh. It's like my legs are talking. She's walking around the house looking for him. And what I got to in this office, I was doing as much therapy and program, Ted told me, than most people who are inpatient. I mean, I, tradition five, my purpose is to heal. All of a sudden, I was asked what aspect of myself I wanted to visit with. And I'm really honest internally. It's like, I don't like what you just said. I'll say that to a therapist. I don't like what you do. Like, I'm real. And I was like, there's, I don't know this. Said, I want to visit with that one. And it wasn't a part, it was a feeling. And it said, who will take care of me? Who will take care of me? Well, it has been a kaleidoscope of childhood feelings unsurfacing since then. In the middle of the night, my feelings from adult men, labor and sex trafficking me to a foreign country came. And by the way, I have so much energy today. As my feelings were trying to come, I got sleepier and sleepier and sleepier. I've always been a long sleeper because I didn't have adequate rest because nighttime was terrifying in my house. And so, like the sleep doctor said, oh, you have autonomic nervous system hyperarousal. We call that hypervigilance here. We call that complex trauma. We call that developmental trauma. We call that relational trauma. We call that compound trauma. We call it institutional trauma and betrayal trauma. It was all going on. But it's like now I can see this line. Like I got sleepier and sleepier as my system was like, suppress the feelings, let them come, the feelings coming. And man, when they came the 14th of night, don't you know that everywhere I went the next day, there were people from Japan? And it's Japan to where I was trafficked. I didn't care for that. Anyway, higher power. And, you know, my partner was there and he witnessed that and watched. And it's the only one I've narrated. It's the only one where I have said everything my inner child, my inner 14-year-old was going through out loud. That is reparenting. And that's an inside job. And I want to thread the needle between talk, trust, feel. But there are some things that, ooh, I'm going to cry. She needs me to hear. She needs me to hear. And I'm also cautious about not recovering my marriage or therapizing the marriage. But what was helpful about it is he heard how bad it really was. And now he just knows. He just knows. So during this time, May 24 to the feelings coming, I had a care companion. I was not able to live independently. Friends came to see me, and I did my first outing in months because this was so significant. The maximum speed in the car was about 35 or 40 miles an hour. She took me to my Al-Anon home group. I could only tolerate 40. Like what it takes inside to do this and the attention and the care and the inner being with is enormous when there is a background as ouchy as mine was. So the feelings kept coming. A fellow traveler from Al-Anon was ahead of me, and she had this beautiful capacity to narrate her inner experience. And I would be like, okay. So obviously, I said the feelings from that night were the 14th. I came to ACA the 24th, and I've just been all in ever since. I've been all in ever since. I'm just going to do a little check-in and see what's going on. So, where's my drink of water? Please excuse me. I'm going to read one thing. From the identity. No, I'm going to read from the schematic. Where's my iPhone?
It's right here.
So this is something called the schematic, and I sometimes will go to the ACA website because you can search for meetings by topic, and I'll listen to a schematic meeting. This has been very important to me. It's literally like the five daily tasks: adequate respiration, adequate rest, adequate stimulation, not too much stimulation, things like that. But there's one called deconstructing insanity. One, there's six essential recovery tasks. One, recognition. This task centers around our recognition of dysfunction, including physical responses, cognitive problems, and interpersonal difficulties in social situations and with significant others. And this is what I thank and appreciate and love you for. The fellow traveler's task is to encourage this vital, necessary for life, vital recognition of the signs of distress in a way that builds trust and creates a sense of unity needed to continue in the recovery process. I've gotten to the point where when my feelings surface, I can be with myself independently. There last May, the feelings came from the 10th grade. That took about 3 weeks. Someone at this meeting was here a lot. Someone down the road was here a lot. I would retch, I would vomit, I would poop for days after. I mean, getting it out of the body, and I had some feelings the other night. I just got a yoga bolster and laid down and had a nice, sweet grief. It gets easier. We express the burden of unexpressed grief. It gets easier. And just this thing about the body, I think that this, laundry list workbook is an incredibly sophisticated piece of literature. And in the appendix, this is like, the formal big wordy talk, inside it's like real, like easy questions for me to recognize and answer, but these are like the big $5 words. Reconfiguration of the body held the same way, all of which is called the process of traumatic reproduction. So I have this beautiful voice tonight because, I started doing experiential work 20 years ago, and I could even take myself through it. When I was having all the takeovers last December, when my inner family was just like, oh, she's paying attention. Let's blow her mind with feelings, and I would have to like call someone to stay present using the mindfulness techniques in the Loving Parent guidebook to drive myself home so I could get in the backyard and let my body move. Today, actually, I had a scheduled piece of that. And all these friends showed up, some in ACA, some in AA, some not in recovery. And Ted was here, and Mary Tripp. I got to basically revisit tremendous physical assault from my sibling, and Mary Tripp was like, "You're strong as an ox," because the body has power, and the emotion has power in the body. And I just know how to be with myself today. There was someone laying across my chest, and I was like, "Scooch up, roll your rib cage. That's the spot." And by the way, I have so much freedom in my neck and shoulders. And I want to tell another story, which is a way of including another yucky memory. Last spring, I had so much discomfort right here, and I was stretching my neck and whatever. And then the feelings came from adults putting me as an unescorted eighth grader on a bus from Nashville, Tennessee to Florida overnight with a change in the Atlanta Greyhound bus station. And I sat up straight in the bus seat. And as soon as I moved those feelings, cleared, stopped hurting, stop hurting. So the body is a great portal for me. And today I dance. I go to intentional spaces where I can dance that are boundaried because it's like no crosstalk, right? Don't make eye contact with me. Do not touch me. Do not comment. I'm doing my thing. I play and have fun. This house is fun. Like, I have 40 of these journals, but they were all in the same ink, the same fountain pen, 40 journals. Today, this is what journaling looks like. There's so much vibrancy and so much color. And I usually start with non-dominant hand. My littles write the date, where we are. They love balloons and bows and arrows. There's an arrow in everything. And by the way, we were just in Africa, and my little wants to show you a picture of the lion. It looks just like him. It looks just like him. Well, I can't find it. Maybe you'll be lucky enough to see it later. Oh, I'll show you my giraffe. It looks just like him. I mean, come on, it's exactly like he was in real life. A little love for the inner child and non-dominant hand in the morning. So it's not easy. And there were parts of me that were afraid to talk about the head pain, the lying in the moss over there for 6 months. And I'm going to visit with that part and say, what are you scared of? Because they really don't like that story. It's a crappy story, right? And by the way, as soon as the childhood feeling surfaced, the sleep sorted out. The sleep sorted out. Sleep fine. And I'm starting to get to the place where I can notice, like, oh, I'm feeling some self-doubt, or oh, I'm really short-tempered. Maybe I'm getting ready to have an unfreezing. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. And then sometimes Martin and I talk about it afterwards, and he's like, damn, I wish you could recognize that before it happens. Sorry, can't. So I want to talk a little bit about what it's like to live with an inner loving parent. And I'm very grateful to my fellow traveler with whom I'm doing the Loving Parent Guidebook, because I was like eavesdropping on her qualities of an inner loving parent while she was eavesdropping on mine. And mine includes mercy, tenderness, being witness, attention, so much attunement. And hers included competence. And I was like, oh my gosh. And when I started to unpack that safety, protection, like, I never had a first aid kit. No one ever taught me to have a first aid kit. I got a first aid kit at age 56. I never had fire safety. I live in an 18, 19 house with five fireplaces. I had no safety. So that inner loving parent is competent. I've been to 59 countries. I just started traveling with a medical kit. I did not know what I did not know. And then here's like an adult child script. I'm going to punish you and hold you accountable for not doing what I didn't teach you how to do. My inner teen has something to say about that. Oh, she is really fun. So by the way, last December, I started spontaneously laughing, like by myself laughing. And it started because I was sitting with my inner family and my little said something and my middle said something that kind of complimented it. And I just started to howl. I've had to leave meetings because I have the giggles. And I called a fellow traveler. She said, "I think you're having a spiritual experience." So I actually read in Bill's story when he has his spiritual experience in towns and he calls in the doctor, and the doctor's like, "I don't know, but keep going. It's better than what you had." So I just laugh and laugh and laugh. So the inner loving parent, and I pray like this, like body feeling, whatever's going on. And then I start to do the visiting and I'm like, wind the cassette tape back up. Pray, higher power is my actual parent. And then one of my terms for my inner loving parent is glow, like amplify the light, like turn the bulb dimmer light up for inner loving parent to come up, 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 up and shine. I will reread the letter to my inner loving parent that I wrote at the beginning of the guidebook. It's so tattered. I have to recall, I mean, it's just so tattered. And then I will use, this is my travel folder with the affirmations, the Bill of Rights published by Toronto Intergroup, the Bill of Rights published by ACA, and then kind of the original hippie Bill of Rights. It says, "I have a right to all those good times I always longed for and never got. I have a right to carve out my place in this world." So those help my inner loving parent too. And then, having an inner teen is the best. I think she just said that. So, she was so adultified that when I started to go through the stages of development, which by the way, I didn't know, I have a master's degree and my paper won the Dean Scholar Award. I didn't know clockwise and counterclockwise until last October. I missed so many stages of development. I was sitting in an ACA meeting with my sponsor who came for Halloween. My inner was a fairy. My inner teen the next day repurposed the outfit to make it a fuck the patriarchy fairy. And by the way, both showed me with non-dominant hand drawing how they wanted us to dress. And then, of course, we went out to pizza and whacked men with our wings because that's my inner teen. I made that up, but it's kind of true. She didn't know what she liked because she just had the rage, the outrage, the indignation, the spunk, the fight. And then I was like, art, museums. Graffiti, punk. And I started to experiment. She let me know today, the George Washington headquarters in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I didn't take her on our promised date last fall. Like she keeps track. And now she just has more interests, things that she enjoys, and she's very expressive. I'm curious how this work that I did today may help me with some of the other laundry list traits. I notice that when I'm like walking in an airport and three men are coming at me, we get real big. We get real big. And it's better if they've got a coffee cup because maybe we can bump them and we'll spill it on their shirt. And she comes by that fairly. She comes by that naturally. That makes a lot of sense. And so doing that whole thing, a fellow traveler on this call, she said, "When I go out, I say to my inner teen, honey, if someone makes you mad, tell me. But if you have to speak to them, just try not to cuss." So thank God for fellow travelers and this diverse group of people with whom I can share all these little bits and pieces of it. So yeah, just letting her do lots of other fun things. And then my little, oh my God, she's such an easy child. And she's so sweet. She's so sweet. She sings to her higher power. She's so sensitive, so sensitive. I got Martin a stuffed animal and me a stuffed animal in Africa. And he said, "Do you want yours?" And my inner child said, "No, they're too young still. They can't be separated." She's just precious. We're gonna show. This is my 8-year-old. I mean, look. And one of the things I've learned from looking, I have a whole gallery of pictures. Never had her hair cut, never had health care, never was taken to the dentist. So it's hard at first looking at some of the pictures. But I mean, the sweetest, the cutest, the funnest. Yeah, is very serious about fairies, you know, can tell you when we travel. No, they don't have fairies, they have water sprites. Rocky Mountain fairies, pretty different. So I want to just read this last thing, and then I have the pleasure of closing and hearing from you. And the answer to your question, Colleen, is yes. And the people pleaser in me said, and maybe someone will praise us. I read this and I took it very seriously. This is on page 296. It says, through reparenting, we learn to listen for the child within. I can restage my childhood and teen years with gentleness by being a loving parent to myself. So last March, my birthday's April 19th, and I said, would you like a party, honey? And she said, I want to have field day. I liked field day, and I didn't really get to enjoy it. And I had to do a lot of listening because, like, I put Curtis on the list, and she's like, well, Rachel likes children, but I don't know if Curtis does. He's your friend. Is it your party or my party? I mean, when I listen, they're super clear. So I gave my inner 9-year-old her 9 and shine birthday party. And here's just a couple pictures. We played kickball. And she wanted everything to be very gentle. Like for the egg race, the eggs had to be hard boiled. She didn't want them to crack and embarrass people. So it was a gentle ball. We did roly poly. Look at that. We wet ourselves laughing. Because at the egg thing, it looked like I laid an egg. So we just peed ourselves at our own birthday party, which is age appropriate, both postmenopausal and for an inner child. Ticks all the boxes. So it was so much fun, you know. And I just invited people who I knew could be gentle. We had a quilt with a coloring area. My inner child wanted Sunday school. It was so clear who was still adulting and all their stupid questions. They had know-it-all-itis, which is the death of curiosity and joy, and like who was really there with the spirit of the inner child. So that went so well. Mary Tripp and I had a dance party for our inner teens. And yes, my microphone is a balloon stand, which clearly is a very, very adequate microphone. And so, you know, with the feelings that are coming and reparenting and going to meetings and talking to fellow travelers and reading literature. This year, oh, it's big. It's a party for the sixth grader who lived down the street with no one in the house. We're having a square dance, an all-girl fiddle band. The restaging includes a sixth grade science project table. We think we want something that will blow up. Because there was so much going on in Mrs. Miner's class that we didn't get to really enjoy. Like, we didn't get latitude and longitude and wanted to so much. We just got it. Latitude is flatitude. Longitude starts at the meridian, which means midday, sun is highest above. We can learn. We can pick up these stages of development. We're having Sing Into Your Hairbrush to Casey Kasem's Top 40 from 1980. Adult went through the list. My Sharona is a disgusting male adult sexual predator song, by the way. Curated the playlist with the attention of the inner loving parent so the littles can stay safe. What else are we doing at the party? We're square dancing. Oh, we're doing a collective collage with Soap Opera Digest so we can talk about our soaps. Restaging is fun. It is fun. And I love having the delight, the mirth, the joy, the sensitivity of the inner child. I honor and respect my inner teen. and from Sharon Wegscheider, who published The Family Roles, in her loving parent, Frogs, fully relies on God, who is our actual parent. Thanks for letting me share. It was really fun. Thank you. Love you.